You know, we have been looking at manifesting the presence of God all through this month. And I remembered, you know, a very good friend and brother, the pastor of the church in Dallas, opened up the month with us with a communion service. And he was reminding us, from the scriptures, of course, how the presence of God is around, is can come upon, and you know, also be within us. We took communion and we prayed, and our amazing testimony is coming even from that session to the glory of God. And of course, you now took us for the following 2 weeks. People slide or do remember this month manifesting the presence of God, and you want to have a question or participate, please, we'd like to know what you've been learning. We'd like to hear your experience. We'd like to hear what God's doing in your life. And if you are tuning in, you have no clue about what this is all about. You just joined and you saw this pop up. Also, just tune in. Hold on. There is something for you tonight. You have questions, please. Anonymously, you can ask on slide.do if you go on Google Chrome and type that hashtag JESUS. But if you're confident and you don't mind us knowing it's you, please type in the comment section on Facebook or on YouTube. Yes. So you now took it further. You took us for another 2 week session. If you just want to summarize on some things you shared. And please, people, we want to hear what you've been learning. Please, let's hear what you've been learning. Can you just recall, because I jumped on last week from what you were sharing. I know something about the presence of God in the heart or whatever. I jumped on that to talk to us about the presence of God around, within, and I mean upon and within us. Okay, so let's start. Let's open the floor. While we keep checking on slide or those people have questions or comments. If you just want to kind of remind us tonight.
Thank you very much, Pastor, and thanks for the opportunity to be able to teach on those 2 days. Thank you very much. Just to recap very quickly so that we can take the questions. I think over the last 2 weeks, we touched on two different themes. And the first one is the fact that our work for God starts from within and not from outside. So it's inside out, not outside in. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is human beings generally look outside in. They can only see what is outside. But Jeremiah 17:10 makes us know that God said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. Like, it tests the mind, even to give to everyone according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. And what that means is God is not just giving you based on the deeds externally. Before he rewards us, he looks at the inside. And the second bit that we talked about is God is not so particular about what we do for him as much as what we are becoming. The calling in itself is for us to become more and more like Christ. The calling in itself is for us to become conformed to the image of Christ. We looked in Ephesians and we said that before the foundations of the earth, God knew us. Mm-hmm. And he predestined us unto adoption as sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. And we talked about the fact that it is very important for us to understand that the work that God is actually calling us to starts on the inside. And how do we deal with that work? Is to dig into the Word of God, is to be planted and to be rooted in the Word. And we looked at different aspects of that. We compared a number of things about the old birth and the new birth. And we talked about the fact that when God transforms us, the first thing that God deals with is the heart. And that was why over the pandemic, when God was starting to deal with us afresh on a new level, he started with the heart. and for a long time we dwelt on the heart. For anyone who was there in 2020, it would have been like almost 4 months just talking about the heart, just talking about the heart. And we kept praying about the heart. And it's because that is what God is dealing with. That is what God is particular about. When he brings about his rewards, that's what he looks at. And then from there, we now said, what happens is the fetus becomes connected to a source of food. And that source of food is like the word of God. It becomes planted. It's after it starts to beat, what signifies life is the fact that the heart is beating. But for the heart to continue to beat as it used to beat, it has to be connected to a source where it can take resources. And that's the word of God. That is what builds us. That is what makes us. That is what shapes us. That is what transforms us. Because the word of God is not just the letters. The word of God in itself is God himself. And the word of God is what conforms us to his image. And that is why we need to spend a lot of time digging into the word of God. Number one, we need to understand that we have been called. We have been called right before the foundation of the earth to be sons and daughters, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be planted in Christ. And I think the next week we talked about being built by God. And we said that it is very important for us to know that it is God that is building us. Now, if I understand that it is God that is building me, then I am no longer trying to build myself. I'm no longer struggling. I come to a place of rest, understanding that it is God that is building me. For those who have been joining us in the prayer meetings, one of the things we learned is that God revealed himself. I think it was Dr. Ebunda was talking from Exodus chapter 6. God revealed himself as God and Lord to the Israelites. But to us, through Christ Jesus, he revealed himself as a father. Now, a father would do all things. He will instruct, he will correct, he will discipline, he will provide. He makes provisions for us ahead of time. So if we understand that it is God, the Father, who is building us, then some of the worries that we carry, some of the weights that we carry, we would drop them. Because we would understand the fact that somebody else is building us. And we talked about the fact that the location of where we are being built is in Christ. That we are being built in Christ. And Christ is the cornerstone, is the foundation. That any other foundation that is outside of Christ indicates the fact that you are not being built by Christ. And that the fact that we need to be very careful about our foundation. What are we mixing together? When God created light, the next thing he did was he separated light from darkness. He separated light from darkness. And God said, come out of them and be ye separate. And it's very important for us to do that. And that's the journey of our Christianity. That is what makes us to manifest the light. Because the light itself is God. And we are just reflecting him. It is when we are being built by him. We learned there that the ultimate goal of that building is so that he can dwell in us by his spirit. Mm. It is when he dwells in us and when he reflects through us that we indeed can manifest. But it starts first from the place of the heart. It starts in the place where we are focusing on the word of God. If we read in Daniel chapter 9, in Daniel chapter 9 from verse 2, in that particular place, one thing caught my attention. I realized that Daniel was just like a refugee. He was a civil servant also. He served many managers, because so many kings. He served a number of kings.
That's right.
And if you read from verse 2, he said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years that were specified by the word of God. He understood by the books. And based on that understanding, he started to pray.
That's right.
Well, the first thing is he went into the books. And the books that they were talking about was the book of Jeremiah, which talked about the number of years that the Israelites would stay in captivity. But if we now go to chapter 10, because Daniel was just a normal person, he ended up living and dying in captivity outside, serving other people.
Yeah.
But if we trace his lifetime, you would understand that he was a man that First of all, in chapter 1, it said Daniel proposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's portion. So the heart was there. Then we now understood that he had an understanding of the word of God or of the books, more or less. Then that was what they had. But just to stress the importance of us dwelling in the word, if we go to verse 5, I think, from Daniel 10. I'll start from verse 7. I said, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. An angel appeared to him, and a vision came to him. For the men who were with me, who did not see the vision, but a terror fell upon them, so that they fled and they hid themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned into frailty, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, greatly beloved.'" Another translation said, "A man of great esteem." And he said, "Understands the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking these words, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before the Lord, your words were heard, and I have come because of those words." Some translations will say, "And I have come to give you understanding." Some will say, "And I, from the first day that you chose in your heart to gain understanding, I have come to give you understanding." And that caught my attention, that once, for me to be able to dig into the word, it starts from my heart. I have to make a decision to seek that understanding and to humble myself before God. I have to humble myself. If you go to verse 14, it said, "Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen." First, it started with Daniel proposing in his heart to study the word and to understand. And then in the heavens, what happened was, for a civil servant, somebody who was just serving the kings, who was just doing the regular routine things, an angel came around and said, "O Daniel, man of great esteem." That means he was recognized in heaven. He was called the most beloved, which was what even Jesus Christ was called. And just because this person proposed in his heart to focus and understand by the books, to study and dig into the word of God. And what happened was, more understanding came to him. And God opened up, and then he revealed some deep mysteries to him in the remaining part of chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12, which some of them has not even been manifested yet. Some are yet to be made manifest currently. And that caught my attention, that it is when I propose in my heart, because Daniel initially said in verse 9, he said, "I understood by the books." He thought he understood. But when he made that decision to try to understand the word of God, God brought understanding to him. God himself sent understanding to him. And that's the charge to everyone. If you want to manifest the glory of God, because if you look at Daniel, he manifested the glory of God to many kings when he was away in captivity. He served, and he was great in every manner of wisdom. That was what was said about him. And it's very important that if we want to manifest, the first thing is for us to go back to the place of the word, for us to dig back and be planted in Christ. Amen. Amen. I think I'll just pause there for questions.
Yeah. Thank you for the recap. And, one thing you said about Daniel that just catches my attention. And, maybe for the sake of someone, when we're talking about manifesting, that Daniel manifested, the glory of God. He manifested the presence of God. I mean, how would one explain that to a lay person? Maybe someone just joining asking what does it mean to manifest the glory of God or manifest the presence of God. I mean, how would you break that down? And thank you, people. I can see questions coming in now through Slido. Keep those questions coming, and we will look at the questions. Yes, you know, when you're talking of manifesting, that may sound a bit heavy, the glory of God. How would we put that in a layman's term? What does it mean to manifest the glory or presence of God?
I look at it in the context of, if I'm trying to manifest the glory of someone, that means the qualities of someone. Mm. And because a lot of times we look at it from a very big spiritual level, but really it's just me manifesting God. God is wisdom. So when I come around in my day-to-day work and there's wisdom like that they said was found in Daniel in me, in the solution to things, there's a problem at work and I can solve it, I am manifesting the glory of God. God is love. When I encounter somebody and somebody encounters love, and they can say, oh, every time I come around Damola, it seems like as if everything gets resolved. Mm-hmm. That is the person. That is me manifesting the glory of God. If somebody comes around me every time and I say, every time I meet this guy, I'm just always not happy, it talks me, that is me manifesting something else. So it is me manifesting the qualities of God, bringing God to bear in my own environment, in my home. Every time my wife encounters me, it should be that she encounters Christ in me, the qualities of Christ. So it's, if I go to work, if the children are in school and they want to ask a question in class, or they're looking for somebody who will be nice and kind to be able to help with something in the classroom, and they say, oh, if you need to do that, speak to this person because he has this kind of spirit. And everybody would know. If you're manifesting something that is contrary, because if you look at all those other things like anger, bitterness, like anything else that is not of God that you can carry and manifest, jealousy, covetousness, those are of the devil. But if you're manifesting the presence of God, what happens is all the qualities of God come to bear: love, joy, peace. When you're around, it sort of peace just flows in the office. There's no chaos. You know how to diffuse situation. You manifest who God is to your environment.
Thank you very much for that. You know, just talking about that, a scripture just comes to mind. If the media team can help us search for this scripture, Matthew and chapter 5. Let's read from, I think, verse number 16, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, to buttress what you've just said. Manifesting the glory of God, manifesting the presence of God is just you. We're showing God's, what's the word?
The qualities of God.
The qualities of God. Yes. The character of God. The
character of God.
You know, they can see what God can do that you are doing. They can see through you. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see, which is what you're saying, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's the word, you know, glory. We see that, which is where we get the word glorify. So when they see us showcasing good works, like you said, they come around us and they can see that, wow, this person's loving, is caring, is solving problems, is not creating problems, is showing the qualities, the very character of God. When we look at, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, what was he doing? Good works. Said he went about doing good. So people were seeing Jesus' good works and Jesus was manifesting that glory and presence of God. Thank you for that. There's a question that has come on Slido. Thank you. Good to see you online, Evangelist Beretta Mills, all the way from the United States. God bless you. Thank you for joining as usual. And those joining us from all over the place, all over the world, please tell us where you're joining from. So always wonderful to see you all. Okay, we've got a question on slide.do. Again, you want to ask a question or you want to contribute, either you can type in your contribution, participate to YouTube on the comments, live comments, and on the Facebook, also you can type in your comments. We would love to hear, especially your testimonies. What's God's been speaking to you? What's God's been, what's been happening in your life since we started talking about, you know, manifesting the presence of God, which has been our theme this month. So slide.do, type in hashtag J-E-S-U-S, and we would love to take a question. So there's a question right now on slide.do, and it says, how can a child of God know or sense when the presence of God has departed from him or her on time before it gets late? That's a very good question for, and thank you, the person who asked that question. Last week, I'm sure we touched on even the first place where we see the presence, that phrase, the presence of God, first mentioned. And that, what happened there, will help us to see something in line with this question that gives us a clue, all right? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, I believe, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, is where we see the Bible saying that Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, what did they do? They hid themselves. If we can bring that scripture up, please. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. When we read that, it says, and they, if we can display that, please. Genesis and chapter 3 and verse 8. And they, that's Adam and Eve. Can we display that, please? Is it possible for us to display that? If we can find it, okay. Let me see. Can we put that on display? Genesis 3 and verse 8. Thank you very much. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of God. Now, the question we're looking at is, how can a child of God sense when the presence of God has departed? In this particular passage, we see that it's now the man and the woman that were hiding, attempting, because that's, if you see the context of the story, that they attempted to hide themselves from the presence of God. Of course, what happened before they did that? They did something called sin. You see, S-I-N, sin, just simply means that we are separated from the presence of God, from the life of God. We are cut off. The Bible tells us that sin is a transgression of God's word, God's commandment, God's instructions. When we disobey, we transgress. Transgress means we pass over, to go over from one state to another. So when we sin. By sin, we do what God tells us not to do. We disobey the word of God. Sin, there are many places in the Bible that tells us what sin is. Sin, just know that once we sin, we are cut off. We are separated. What happened to Adam and Eve there was that God said, do not eat of a particular tree. He said, the day you eat it, you will die. That word death they're using in that scripture is separation from God. You are going to be separated from the life of God. That's what God was telling them. Not that they will physically die, as in die and go, but they will be separated. So sin, that's what it does. Transgression of the law, all unrighteousness is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. What that means is that you are not doing what God says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're not doing what the word of God says. If we begin to doubt, things like that, we are cut off from the life of God. Sin also is defined as when you know you should do something good and you don't do it, that is also sin. These are things that cut us off from the presence of God, that makes the presence of God depart from us. Let me give us one more scripture, if the media team can help us with Judges. There was a man called Samson. Judges, I think it's chapter 16. Yes, Judges and chapter 16. If we read from, let me just get the accurate scripture. I think it's verse 9. That uses the word that Samson did not know that the presence of God had departed from him. That the Lord had departed from him. When you see, you may want to ask, what did Samson do that made the presence of God depart from him? In, I think it's Judges. Okay, let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 16. And I think it's verse 9. Let me just be sure. Okay, Judges chapter 16. No, not verse 9, sorry. It's Judges chapter 16 and I think it's 19. Let me be sure now. Judges chapter 16. I know it is. Yeah, bring verse 19. Sorry, verse 20. Okay, yeah, verse 20. Judges chapter 16 and verse 20, if we can display that. It says there that Samson did not know the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. And then the Bible tells us, yeah, please give us the other part of it. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. What did Samson do? He sinned. He exposed himself. He was he went with a woman called Delilah, and Delilah was from the Philistines. And actually, God had instructed also that anyone who is an Israelite should not go marry a Philistine. But Samson, the power of God was always upon him. The Spirit of God was always coming upon him. He did great and mighty things. But at this point, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. So back to the question, looking at these scriptures, how can you sense the presence of God has departed from you before it gets late? Listen, the moment we sin, I love an analogy. That moment we sin, we are cut off. That moment, sin, we've transgressed, we've passed over. But the analogy that a man of God, you know, a general overseer, always gave, and anytime it comes back to me, I say, Lord, have mercy. That's why we should constantly always be confessing our sins. Act of omission, commission, Lord, peradventure, I've said something, done something, thought something that's not of you, Lord. I confess and I ask you, forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He gave this analogy, the general overseer, that, you know, a fan is blowing. It's connected to electric current. And it's blowing. The fan is blowing, it's blowing, it's blowing fast. Do you know that the moment you go and switch off the fan from the from its switch, the fan will still be blowing. It will be blowing and blowing and blowing, but it's been cut off from the source that's generating that current, that's making it, that's powering the blade. But it will still be blowing for a while. And then it keeps blowing, it keeps blowing, it keeps blowing, it keeps blowing. And then slowly, and then slowly, and then slowly. And then it stops. How do we sense? Listen, just always, we must always check ourselves. The moment we have transgressed, we must confess. You know, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we are lying. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful, just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I sense this is a good place to pray, Damola. Can you just lead every one of us and pray? Peradventure, any one of us, the presence of God has departed, or we've departed, we have sinned, we don't realize, the fan is still blowing, but the current has been cut off. Can we pray for restoration? Please, Damola, just lead us. I just sense that right now. We should pray.
Father Lord, we pray for everyone. Those who have joined on this service, those who will watch later on.
Yes, Lord.
Who may have been cut off from your presence, who still feel like as if they're in the vine, but they've actually left you. They've moved out of Christ. Lord, we ask. We ask, Lord, that your instruction and your correction will come to them. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, we ask, Lord, that by your blood, because it's your blood that actually washes away our sins. Father, Lord, that you forgive us, O Lord,
yes,
and you wash away our sins, O Lord. And do not let your presence, O Lord, depart from us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to be rooted in you alone. That our eyes, Lord, will not be turned to anything on the left, on the right, but our gaze will be fixed firmly only on Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Wow, amazing. That's a testimony. Thank you very much. An anonymous testimony. Thank you for also keeping it anonymous, but we will pray also for that marriage. The testimony is on slide of dough. It says, listen, because at times, you know, Apostle Cruz, there are couples who are still together. We see them, but they've actually departed from each other. The marriage has gone, but they're still living together, but they've become housemates. In fact, I know of a couple that they said they don't really have anything to do with each other again. But, you know, people see them, they go out together, they drive out together. And, you know, the shocking thing was to say, well, the marriage is gone, but once in a while, we just, you know, we do what husband and wife does, but bang. Marriage gone. So this testimony says, I was almost fed up with my marriage. And in one of the 6 p.m. prayer meetings, Pastor, to the glory of God, encouraged us to thank God for what he has given us. And then part 2 of this testimony says, I began thanking God for my wife. And boom, I felt no hurt again, but love. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my marriage. There is power in thanksgiving. You know, thank you for that testimony. We pray for fresh oil, fresh wine in that home. And peradventure, any marriage online is collapsing or has collapsed. The electrical power has been switched off. The marriage is just surviving, just rotating. Lord God, we pray for salvation, for healing. Amen. We pray for forgiveness.
Amen.
We pray hurts and pains, bitterness be uprooted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, we pray for this particular family and this couple. Thank you. Thank you. The power of thanksgiving. Thank you that this couple will keep on thanking you for one another. And as they keep thanking you, and as we're learning the principle of thanking you for what we have, rather than murmuring for what we don't, for, you know, murmuring on what we have already, rather than thanking you. Lord, this principle, I pray, as we all practice it, Lord, thanksgiving will make more grace to abound.
Amen.
Thanksgiving will make increase to come to our homes, to our marriages, to our finances.
Amen.
To every area of our lives. People, this is a principle. There were only 5 loaves, 2 fishes for multitude. The Bible tells us Jesus took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes. But before then, one of his disciples had said, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, a little boy's lunch? What is that among so many of us? That's one way we murmur. But thank God that Jesus did not murmur. The Bible said Jesus took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and gave thanks. And you know what happened, people? Multiplication. What Jesus could have murmured to, that, oh, Father, I thought you are my provider. Lord, I thought you said you will supply all my needs according to your riches in Christ in glory. What is 5 loaves? What is 2 fishes? This is not what we want, Lord. That's murmuring, people. Jesus thanked God, and abundance, increase, multiplication happened. Thank you for sharing that testimony for that person. And thank you, Lord, for healing some marriages and relationships. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see another question. This is on Slido. Is there any comments on Facebook or on the YouTube? Please, the media team, just keep bringing them up. Okay, this question says, how do I predetermine in my heart, honestly, to know God when I'm not sure if I'm honest? It seems like you're the heart specialist, Apostle Cruz. This person is sincerely, I think, opening up their heart here, okay? But then asking for help. How do I predetermine in my heart, honestly, to know God when I'm not sure if I'm honest? I don't know, you want to say something about that?
Just something very simple, just to be able to add to that. Probably Pastor might be able to shed more light on it. My first understanding of God is the fact that we can't serve him with our strength. He was the one that first called us. And it's that calling that creates that desire in our hearts to be able to seek him. And the truth is, he knows, he sees us, he sees who we are. And what he always looks out for is someone who can come in that honesty to say, God, really, I don't think honestly I have a predetermined heart to search for you. But I would like to know you. Just something as simple as that. Because it is not by our own strength that we are serving God. It is not by our own power. What it demands from us is what he has first of all imputed to us, or that he has given to us. So don't see it this way. God has first of all, he foreknew you. He predestined you to be a son or a daughter. And then he called you. And then you just, in the answer to the call, it was like that man that Jesus Christ asked. He said, do you believe? He said, I believe, but there are still some aspects of unbelief in me. Help me in my areas of unbelief. So, Lord, I would like to give you my heart, but currently I'm worried about the cares of this world. I would also like to make some money. I would also like to. These are some of the limitations that I have currently. Go to God sincerely. Pastor always teaches us to be very sincere with God. See God as a father. I mean, be very honest and open to God and say, this is where I am. And one of the things I first learned when I joined the Love Assembly was, Pastor said, come as you are. It says, when God called us, he said we should come as we are. But the thing about God is it doesn't make us to remain as we were when we came into him. He keeps changing us day by day, and he keeps turning us around. It may be a journey of 20 years for you till you get to that point, but come as you are. That's what God is asking. God is not asking for you to set a goal in your heart, for you to just come to him, be sincere, be pure. God, this is where I am in my walk. I am here. Help me. And if you don't sincerely need the help, just say, God, I want to come to church. I want to know you more, for this is where I am at this moment. And then gradually you move to the next level. The Spirit of God will help you. And as you thirst more, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we said the limitation is us. The depth in Christ is limitless. As much as you want to dig into Christ, that is as much as God will reveal to you. So go to God just as you are. Tell him that you don't think you are sincere. Tell him that you don't think you are honest about where you are currently. And watch God start to do something with him.
Sincerity of heart. You know, there are two scriptures that personally has helped me in my own walk with God over the years. And one is, I'll quickly share it so that the media team can search for it. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 15, verse 1 and 2. And then the second scripture is 2 Chronicles, chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. Well done, Remsen. Good to see you online all the way from across the Atlantic. Mudupe Remy Eso. When you merge Remy and Eso together, you get Remsen. God bless you, sir. Good to see you online. All right. Thanks for joining this service. So the question again, all right, go to God just as you are. Thank you, Yogo, a boo-boo man, for that contribution. Just go to God just as you are. Be sincere, just like Apostle Cruz has said. Okay, so if we found the scripture, let's read the first one, Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. Display the question again, please, if you don't mind the media people. The question again is, how do I predetermine in my heart, honestly, to know God when I am not sure if I'm honest? That's right. Like Apostle Cruz said, can you just tell God exactly the way it is? God, I'm not even sure. This is my heart. This is the state of my heart. Honestly, I would like to know you, but you know, I've got my doubts. This is how I feel. You know, one of the things, Apostle Cruz, is that we don't realize that when we are very, very sincere like that, we're actually praying. This is a heart cry now. We are crying for help. And God, the Bible says, just like you said, God works with us from inside out, not outside in. Right? Not outside in. God looks at the heart. That's what the scriptures tells us. God does not look at the outward. God looks at the heart, right in the heart. So even before we verbalize the true state of our hearts, God sees it. And God still wants us to tell him as it is. Okay? Look at this scripture in Psalm 15, verse 1 and 2. It was a question. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Big question. Who may dwell in your holy hill? Another question. The answer, look at it. He who walks uprightly. Maybe that is a bit too too righteous. Okay? And walks righteousness. Maybe that's too holy. But look at it. And speaks the truth in his heart. What that means is you speak the truth that is in the true state of your heart. You say it. This is how I'm feeling, Lord. For example, you're struggling to forgive someone. People don't realize that. Don't fake it. Go to God. I am struggling, Lord, to forgive. You know, my wife was sharing something on the prayer altar this evening. We were driving home. You know, I think I was even sharing something with her. We're discussing something very... And all of a sudden, some boys in the neighborhood just pelted my side. Thank God I even wound up. Just pelted my side with, you know, a kind of a snowball made from slit and all that. They were just being, you know, cheeky. They were there. They were hooded up. You could see these boys were looking for trouble. And, you know, she said the way she felt in her heart at that point, because I too was kind of angry. I just stopped, looked at these boys. We were rushing home to come to get on the prayer altar. Can you imagine? And of course, the devil knows we're coming to pray. The devil knows that when we hold unforgiveness, we have grudges, we have anger, we can't pray. And, you know, the devil is looking to accuse us. That, see, what are you praying? You know, she felt anger. She felt, look, like pronouncing judgment, like, is it Elijah or Elisha? You know, and like those disciples of Jesus said, Jesus, should we call fire from heaven on these people? Jesus said, you don't know the spirit you have. You know, she poured out, she was sincere the way she felt. And, you know, at that point in time, the Spirit of God just ministered to her. No, no, no. You're about to pray and all that. Don't give the enemy anything to accuse you of. At that point, she was sincere in her heart. This is the way I'm feeling. I feel like cursing these guys. You know? So, now, that's one scripture. Always speak the truth in your heart. Speak the truth as it is in your heart. Don't use what we call our righteous, holy Christianese language. When God knows you are angry, you are trying to say, God, bless you. I bless your holy name. Thou art worthy. You are glorious. You are beautiful. You know, I love you. Your hatred is filled in your heart for your spouse. You know, no, God, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but God, you know, I can't deny. You see my heart. This is how I'm feeling. Help me. That's the truth in your heart you're speaking. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. This is another scripture. This is awesome. Awesome to just see the way God, the role God plays in our hearts. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. If we can display that also, that will be great. You know, still talking about the heart and how we can be predetermined and be sincere and be honest. Okay, if we can display that quickly, please. Can we bring that on? 2 Chronicles?
I can. Do you want to read it, sir?
Chapter 16. Well, I just want people to see, people watching as we read. So, you know, you're seeing, you're hearing. It's powerful. It sticks that way. I think scientifically, it's been proven that what you see and you hear at the same time sticks. And then the third part is you see, you hear, you do, you'll never forget. So, yeah, that's just a bonus. I'm a teacher by profession. You are a corrosion engineer. So, but a teacher of the word, you know, I always like your analogies and the way you explain things. All right, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Oh, wow. Can we bring the King James Version? If you can help us, King James Version here. I want us to see a word, okay? There, the New King James uses loyal. The King James uses the word perfect. But I want us to see something about that word perfect, okay? If we can see it, the King James says, on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. And I want us to understand what that word actually there means is to those whose heart is sincere, open. You know, whose heart is sincere towards him. Are you getting me? Whose heart are completely his. That's the way another version puts it. How can our heart be completely God? By opening our heart to him, exposing it. That God, this is my heart. I'm not hiding anything. You know, because when we see the word perfect there, we think of sinless perfection. No, in the context in which it's written, loyal. You know, Lord, I'm still loyal. I'm having issues here. But you know what? Help me. Whose heart is sincere, open? That is the people that God will make himself strong to. He sees the weakness of the heart. He will strengthen the heart. He comes, like Paul said, when I'm weak, his strength, the strength of God, is perfected in my weakness. So, heart, just be sincere. Tell God as it is. Go to God the way it is. Thank you for those comments, those who have commented. Okay, and I think, let's see, is there any other question? All right. Somebody's admonishing, says, my brothers and sisters, let's be very focused on this prayer altar. You know, we have a prayer altar, 6 p.m. since January. I don't know how the Spirit of God is leading us, but we're reaching the point every 6 p.m. every day. UK time, we've been praying. We gather online, we pray. It's not by force. It's by choice, but it's by the Spirit, because no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. All right, thank you, everybody. I think that seems to be all the questions tonight. Testimonies. Somebody again, children of the Most High. Let's take advantage of this prayer altar. God is doing marvelous things here. Honestly, things are well with me. Thank you for sharing that. Prayer. Jesus said, this is one thing we must always do. Pray. Pray. What is it? Talk to God. Mysteries. You know, and God's been leading us since January, every day, 6 p.m., revealing mysteries to us, you know, breaking covenants, breaking yokes, giving instructions. It's personally, honestly, I calculated the other day, it's about 36 years for me this year. That I gave my heart to the Lord, invited Jesus into my heart, been walking with God. It's been ups, downs, but steadily in the last couple of years. And then, you know, by the grace of God, being in a place to have spiritual oversight over people. I have never, in 36 years, been led by the Spirit of God to pray consistently as we've been praying since January. Every day at 6 p.m. And we see that the whole, you know, part of what we've been talking about this month, the whole of creation, people, the world is waiting to see those of us who are professing that we are Christians, we are children of God, sons and daughters of God. They are waiting to see us manifest God, to show them God is real, to do the works Jesus did. Jesus said, these signs will follow everyone who believes in me. You will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You will cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up deadly things, it will not hurt. The Bible tells us the early church, Christians, disciples, they went, they did exactly what Jesus said to do. And the Bible said the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Every one of us who believes, signs ought to follow us. And signs have begun to follow people. We've been seeing miracles, testimonials, changes internally. People are becoming more and more bolder. The Bible says righteous, the righteous are bold as a lion. We pray. Everybody, pray. People, let's keep on praying. All right? Let's keep on praying. Thank you for those admonishing and encouraging. Pray without ceasing. That's what Jesus, the Bible admonished. Men always ought to pray. people should always pray, because if you don't pray, then you will faint. I have never had these encounters that we've been having since January, to the glory of God. Amen. All right. I think you want to say something, Apostle Cruz? Did you want to say something?
Just in conclusion, yes. It was something that you were talking about for the first question, where somebody said, how do we know when the presence of God has departed? And you were talking about Samson, and this was an analogy that was playing up in my heart. The sign for the presence of God with him was the hair on his head. But for Samson, he has been going on into a place of sin, which has been very consistent with him. He had corrections from his parents, which he did not listen to. And one thing that came to my mind is, so far as he did not cut his hair, that spirit still remained on him. But the ability for him not to cut the hair diminishes for every time he goes into sin. And every time we refuse correction, just like what happened to Saul, what we are doing is we are setting ourselves up for that presence of God to depart. So sin, when we sin, it's good for us to be able to repent. But when correction comes, how does your heart react to it? Because God would always send correction to his children.
That's right.
And always watch out for those corrections. When the corrections come, it might come from someone who seems younger than you, not as spiritual as you. It could come from your pastor, your parents. It could come from colleagues. How do you react? Because when Saul rejected the correction from Samuel, what happened was afterwards, that was like the end point. The spirit also departed from him. For Samson, he kept on sinning. He appeared like as if, like Pastor said, the fan was still rolling. But it was reducing the ability for him not to have his hair cut for every sin that he encountered and the correction that he did not heed to.
God is merciful. When we sin, let's run back to him.
Yes.
Not run away. Run to him every time we miss it. Let's run to him. Thank you for sharing that.